Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
As communities across Massachusetts consider whether to allow resort-style casinos on their turf, one thing is certain. Uncounted Las Vegas moguls are just waiting in the wings, ready to fight tooth and nail for one of the Commonwealth's three new gaming licenses. Or are they?
Maybe not. Last week, Las Vegas Sands chairman and native Bostonian Sheldon Adelson said thanks but no thanks to the idea of developing a casino in Massachusetts. This after his company spent $500,000 lobbying Beacon Hill to offer the licenses in the first place.
His concern? Market saturation. He says three casinos is too many. There wouldn't be enough business for all of them. And Adelson isn't the only one saying that. Lukewarm interest from Las Vegas could be a game changer in the Massachusetts casino debate. So to give us a more precise reading of its temperature is Howard Stutz, reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Howard, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be there. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. So Adelson isn't the only one having second thoughts here. Who else?
Well, there was a Steve Wynn, Wynn Resorts, had a deal, an agreement with Robert Kraft out in Foxborough. And what happened with that was there was, a vote out in Foxborough, and they replaced the city councilmen, or I'm not sure what your
Yeah, what so your basically, you know, they sort of, the community resisted and they didn't want it. Is that the real reason Wynn walked away?
Yeah, he saw that the writing was on the wall, that it wasn't going to get approved, because the communities have to approve the casino.
Right.
And he saw the writing on the wall, and that was it. He yanked the deal out of Foxborough, but which would have been the Boston license. But there's only one license in Boston, and it seems to be that, you know, from the get-go, from following this, that the leading bidders have been a combination of the Suffolk Downs Racetrack and Caesars Entertainment Corporation, which, you know, Caesars Palace, Harrah's Casinos out here in Las Vegas and, you know, throughout the country. So that seems to be the leading candidate for that license.
But Adelson isn't even someone who is, you know, twitchy about getting community resistance. He was just saying there's no money to be made here with three casinos in such a small geographic area as Massachusetts. Howard, you follow this stuff for a living. What's your sense? Are three licenses too many?
No, I mean, you've got one in Boston, but you're also going out to Western Massachusetts. The question is the Southeastern license that's supposed to go to this Indian tribe, and the question is whether that Indian tribe, you know, can actually, you know, put a deal together to build a casino there,
right.
So wherever they're looking at. You may see Sheldon Adelson and Las Vegas Sands Corporation rear up again, you know, with an opportunity down there, if that were to come to fruition. Western Massachusetts, it's away from Boston. You're looking at Ameristar Casinos, which is a regional operator out here from Las Vegas. They're looking. Penn National Gaming's looking. MGM had been looking, had a location, but it fell apart. So now they're looking again. The Boston license, one casino in Boston, a lot of analysts have said this could be the most lucrative of all the properties in Massachusetts, because, and they're actually estimating somewhere about $1 billion a year in gaming revenue from that, of which I guess it's a 33% tax rate if I'm not mistaken. That's what the state would take on that. And it seems from the get-go that license has been dedicated more towards Suffolk Downs and Caesars. So that's where maybe some were using proliferation of gaming and too much as an excuse, maybe to quietly walk away from anything in Boston.
Sure, but there is the context of what's happening in the region. There was a recent New York Times article reporting that Foxwoods down in Connecticut is just fighting for its life. Is that because there are two big casinos in Connecticut, or is maybe the whole region getting a little oversaturated? You got Atlantic City, now you got Maryland, and soon Massachusetts, and, you know, New Hampshire is looking to expand gaming as well in response to what we did in Massachusetts.
Well, that is part of it. Pennsylvania at legalized casinos about 10 years ago, for slot machine only casinos. Now they're allowed to have full on gaming, you know, with table games and slot machines. Pennsylvania is probably going to pass Atlantic City sometime this year as the nation's number two gaming market behind Las Vegas and Nevada. Pennsylvania's been a huge market. We're waiting to see what happens with Maryland. You're going to have the new casino in Maryland opening in a few weeks. That's a huge market. Atlantic City just got a new casino in the Revel project. They're trying anything they can to, you know, they've lost a lot of business through the recession. I mean, their revenues are almost cut in half of what they used to be, mainly because of New York adding the racetrack casinos and aqueduct and other areas. Massachusetts is really seems to be an answer to Connecticut, because so many of your citizens were just basically going across the border to Connecticut to gamble, and that's tax dollars that's walking away. That's what a lot of these states have seen. Ohio is open to casino in Cleveland. A couple weeks ago, they're opening a second casino today in Toledo, Ohio, because mainly Ohio didn't have any gaming, and so many residents were going to neighboring states to gamble. So the question is, how all this is going to, once all these casinos open, how this all shakes out. David Cordish, who's the is the one building the casino in Maryland, in the Maryland Live Casino, he made an argument and said, let's slow down until after all these casinos open, and before we start pushing for new properties and seeing where this all shakes out and see who can survive and who can't. So that's really this is a whole new. I mean, we've seen so much push in the last few years for new gaming opportunities. Now we're just going to see where they all filter out to.
Well, finally, Howard, I mean, that's the question. What happens if Las Vegas loses interest? Is there precedent for a jurisdiction allowing for a new casino and then getting no takers?
Well, I mean, that happened in Kansas. Kansas was a market where back in 2007, they legalized like four or five casinos. Everybody was bidding it and started looking out there. MGM, you know, the big guys, MGM, Caesars, Wynn, Sands, and none of them bid out there. Right now, you know, the biggest company that's in Kansas is Penn National Gaming, and Boyd Gaming from Las Vegas just bought a casino there. It's really what it comes down to, boils down to, is can they make the investment work? Now, in the last, you know, we just went through this horrible recession, and that really impacted the casino industry. So they weren't spending what they, you know, a billion. They couldn't pencil out, based on the high tax rate, based on what it would cost to build a property, based on all the entry fees and all this, they couldn't make the numbers work. So you see smaller companies that are pretty good companies, Penn National, Ameristar, Pinnacle Entertainment, they're the ones that seem to be stepping into these regional markets and building those resorts that we're seeing.
Well, we'll see if they're the future. Howard Stutz is the gaming reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, where I imagine he is very busy. Howard, thank you very much.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And stay with us. Coming up, the cure for everything, from stretching to vitamins to cleanses to yoga. We're debunking health myths with author Timothy Caulfield. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.